Once again, good morning to everybody. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, it's in your name that we thank you. We magnify you. We settle down in your presence. So much still going on around us, even in our minds, and we settle our mind down even now. We settle our hearts down even now to position ourselves to hear what you have to say about the matter. Nothing happens by happenstance, but it is always purposeful. So there is a purpose why we're chimed in this morning to worship here at One Church. That whatever is said, whatever has been said, it meets all of us differently, but we all need to hear it. So God, we thank you for the clarity of your voice today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, sing with me, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see, sing with me, amazing grace. Lift your voice and say, amazing grace. You sound real good. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see, sing, my chains are gone, you say, and my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, your mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Father, we thank you one more time. Our hearts are open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you mind giving God a hand clap of praise or sending some emoji praise across your screen? Giving God thanks for our worship team, our band, our media, all those that have played a part in our service today. It's nothing but God's grace that continues to show forth in our world. So we give God thanks on today. All right. Listen, One Church, please know that I love you, and I thank you for your consistency to be the disciple that God has called you to be. Well, listen, we've made it to the end of this first series of the year entitled Reset the Church, Reset My Church. And so it's my prayer that these four sermons, and today being the fifth entry, that we have heard something through the reading of God's Word, through our dialogue on Sunday mornings, as well as through Mac in the morning, that we have opened ourselves, made ourselves vulnerable for our part in being reset. On next Sunday, we will introduce our second series for the year entitled Reset Me. Reset Me. There are some things we're going to dive into that are on more of a personal level as we're asking God to reset us. Some personal things, all right? We're going to have a great time going through that particular series in the month of February. Well, on today, we're going to close this series entitled Reset Our Church. And our entry, our final sermon entry for today is entitled this, Let's Do It the Right Way. Let's do it the right way. Our core passage for the year is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, where it says, and after you have suffered a little while, the Lord, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Today we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read for our hearing this morning verses 9 and verses 10. The word of the Lord says this: But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand. It shall last forever. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the word of the Lord on today. As we have been preparing ourselves and making ourselves once again vulnerable before the Lord so that the power of the Holy Spirit can do the resetting within us, I want to make sure we understand that there is a partnership in this resetting. That it is not just upon the power of the Holy Ghost to do the resetting, because God has already done what God is going to do. We have power, the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. So we must be willing to partner with the movement of God for this resetting. All right? So you have a part to play, and we have to address the fact that we have to partner with the Holy Spirit. If you're trying to reset on your own, with your own strength, on your own timetable, doing what you want to do, you're going to miss what God is trying to do in your world. But we must reset in partnership with the Holy Spirit. An issue that arises is the issue of free will. Because if we're not careful, we want to reset according to how we want to reset. And we don't want to reset according to how the Spirit needs us to partner with the Holy Spirit to turn our lives around. It's as if we want to confess God's sovereignty when sovereignty benefits us. We want to address God's free will when free will means free stuff coming to me. But when it comes to us living accountable to the power of the Holy Spirit, we're like, well, hey, free will says I can make my own decision. So I want, Lord, you just stand outside the door, let me get done, and then come on in and take residence in my heart again. That's not how it works. So we must be willing to allow the power of the Lord to do a hard reset within us. So as we close this series out, the challenge is that we must be willing to do it the right way. Meaning that we can't make this thing up on our own, but we have to trust the Lord. So not resetting by doubling down. When I say doubling down, we can't say I want to reset, but I'm going to double down. I'm going to stick to my idea. Some of us have some ideas that are pretty crazy. And so you cannot say, God, I want to reset, but I want to stick to my plan. That's not resetting. You cannot say reset and you want to double down by being more committed to a group and a group's thoughts than being committed to what God is saying. That's not resetting. Some of our brothers and sisters are more committed to a group. Some of our brothers and sisters are more committed to the pledge from a denomination than we are to what God is saying to us. That's not resetting. We cannot double down on sticking to an idea or sticking to a group's thoughts, nor can we pick and choose which scripture we hang on. That's not resetting. No. Resetting says to us, and the kind of resetting that we must want is where we are willing to be embarrassed, and we are willing to we're willing to stop embracing the carnal things to grab hold of the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. The type of resetting that I'm challenging us to have is that we're willing to empty ourselves of the carnal thoughts and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. kind of resetting we're talking about, where we are willing to mute those carnal ideas to have a voice of a trumpet declaring the truth of who Jesus is in our hearts and in our lives. But in order to experience what God has for us, my friends, we've got to do it God's way. So we can't make it up along the way. We have to trust God for the process and for the pattern, the flow of resetting. Would you mind screaming in your home this morning and say, Lord, please reset me? Would you mind raising your voice and say, God, I want to do it your way? Yeah. So in order for this to happen, we've got to trust God for the process. So go stick with me there in 1 Peter, verses 1. Let's stick with verse 1. 1 Peter, verse number 1 says this. We're in chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. All right. So y'all see, I didn't make that up. We're going to read it again. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Now, every time you see the word therefore at the beginning of a sentence, is there for a reason. So go back to chapter 1, and the end of it, look, it started around verse number 22, it says this. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been what? Born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. 24 says this, for all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Listen, if we're going to do it the right way, let me tell you why you have to do it the right way. Are you ready? Here's the answer. Point number one, if you're taking writing down points, here we go. You know better. That's why you have to do it the right way, because you know better. My baby girl, Michaela, she's actually getting ready to be 16 years old. But when Michaela was in elementary, there was a little boy in her class. Let's just give him a name. Let's call him Isaac. There was a little boy in her class, and his name was Isaac. And Isaac got in trouble every day. Every day, Isaac would get in trouble. I mean, literally every day, you all. Little Isaac would get in trouble. Isaac got in trouble so much that his father even saw us at a parent-teacher night and said to us, thank you for Michaela. Because Michaela was the only one that could calm little Isaac down. And so the dad said to me, I appreciate Michaela calming Isaac down to keep him out of trouble. They're in elementary school, right? Elementary. And so one day, Michaela got so upset with Isaac, and Michaela said, Isaac, why you be so bad? Because you know better. It's as if I can hear God leaning over the celestial balcony. I sound like a Baptist preacher now. The celestial balcony of heaven and saying to us, why do y'all be so bad? Because you know better. To know the revealed will of God and willfully do the opposite is called sin. And my friends, we have been around the church and in the Bible long enough to know that when our spiritual chiming system starts going off, we need to push back and back up. Do you know why? Because you know better. And so Peter writes this, and he says this to the church to understand the context, that this church is filled with Gentiles and Jewish people, and there's persecution going on. So Peter wants them to know that although persecution is going on, you have to live and stand for holiness. And so Peter says, you have been saved. You have been born again. And because you have been born again, you know better. How do they know better? I'm glad you asked. Because the word of the Lord endures forever. That's how they know better, because they have been, Peter has started teaching them the word of God. So for us, for you, my friends, we know better. Why? Because we are breathing in. We are being discipled through the word of God. Huh. Have you ever been on a diet before? My aunt will say a diet. Have you been on a diet before? Been on a diet before? And when you go on a diet, there are certain things that you take out of your eating habits. Right? Right? If you know looking at bread, you gain 3 pounds, you stop looking at bread. You know, if you know eating one little piece of chocolate messes you up, you don't have any chocolate around in your home. Right? Because you're taking things out. Peter is telling us to take some things out of our behavior system. He says what? Rid yourselves. Take it out. Malice. That means hatred. How can you call yourself a lover of God, but you have hatred against God's creatures? He said, rid yourself. Take out of your diet all deceit. That's dishonesty. You just walk around lying for no reason. You look like a lie. He says, rid yourselves of hypocrisy. That's a living a life of insincerity. Of insincerity. You're not honest about who you are and what's going on. Hypocrisy. You're living a lie. He said, envy. So that's the idea of being greedy. Church folks, religious folks, we're real greedy. We're not talking about that, but we're real greedy. He says, and slander, so that means insults. If you're walking around, you're just offering insults. Your conversation is about somebody else being divisive, but you're the one that's being divisive, offering insults. He said, and insults on every, envy on every kind. Peter's trying to encourage the church that although all this stuff is going on in the culture, you as the body of Christ cannot live that way. Why? Verse 23 says, for you have been born again. See, if you've been born again based off these perishable things, then being envious, having malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and slander is still a part of your DNA. It's still a part of your nature. But if you have been born again, it just doesn't taste the same anymore. It doesn't feel good coming out. Why? Because you know better. Can I just step to the edge this morning and challenge you as I'm challenging you, I'm challenging myself, that there are some things we should not be involved in. Why? Because we know better. We have spent time in the Word of God, and we know what the Word of God says about lying, about partnering with liars. We know what the Word says because we know better. What sense does it make to be around truth and you settle to be around lies? What sense does it make to have truth in your heart, but you would rather lean on a lie? I want you to know, my friends, today, you know better. And if you're going to do it the right way, you're going to do it the right way because you know God's way. You know better. pardon me for being personal again, but I can remember getting in trouble. I didn't get in trouble that often. I was that often. But when I did, my dad would say, you know better. And you know better. You know what's coming. So we're challenging ourselves today. If we're going to do it God's way, we got to do it right because we know better. Look at verse number 2 and 3. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Look at it again. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted, the Lord is good. That the Lord is good. This is very interesting. So Peter is saying here to the church, just as a baby craves milk from its mother, we should have that same kind of hunger for the nutrients, the milk of God's word. Now, all of us have been around a baby. It may not have been your baby. It may have been somebody else's baby. But you've been around a baby that's hungry. When a baby is hungry, there is nothing that you can do to settle that baby down. You can jump up and down. You can dress like a clown. You can turn around and do hoops. But if that baby is hungry, that baby is not going to be satisfied until that baby is what? Fed. Here's the sad reality of the church today, that some of us can go days without reading God's word. If we're supposed to have the same disposition that a baby has for the milk from its mother, according to the milk of God's word, some of us are walking around hungry and malnourished and we don't even know it. And we wonder why we're so sensitive and the smallest thing just ticks us off. Look at what he said. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. So let me ask you a question this morning. What is it in your life that you're craving for? What are you craving for? Are you craving for recognition? Are you craving for attention? Are you craving for opportunities? Or are you craving for the word of God? Listen, I'm not making it up. Peter said, you have been born again. So if I have been born again, I no longer go after what's going to please McClendon's flesh. I go after the nutrients of God's word. And he said in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And he calls out, and this is the word that was preached to you. What are you craving in life? Listen, y'all, it's some of us good church folks, we want attention. And we have moved from wanting attention from the church. We want attention from the world now. So we get out on social media hoping to get some attention. We're saying a whole lot of stuff, doing a lot of things. We are supposed to be craving the word of God. And listen, it's 2021. So we're not offering any excuses. If you as a believer, you call yourself a son, a child of God, and you're not spending time in the word, your cravings are wrong. If you are spending more time trying to get the attention of people and not taking the time to read God's word daily, his word daily, your cravings have led you astray. We got to do it the right way because you know God is good. You know it's good. You know the taste of God's word is soothing and it is nutrients for your body. You know it's good. So God, this craving that we should have for God's word, it's blameless. This craving that we should have for God's word supersedes every other thing in our world because we get life from the bread of life. We are satisfied inwardly and outwardly because of God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, Isaiah says, but the word of God shall stand forever. Do it the right way because you know it's good. Look at the text, the verse one more time. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Listen, do you understand that the reason why that some people are still giving in the same place, some people are still mean and have hatred in their hearts? It's because of their cravings have not satisfied the hunger in them, and so they are not maturing? Peter said, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow in your salvation. If you are not growing, that means you are trying to satisfy this internal, eternal hunger with something that's temporary. And it's never going to satisfy the desire of needing food. And you can go 20, 30, 40 years tempting your stomach with all this other stuff, but it's never going to satisfy you. That's why you're not growing spiritually, because you keep putting the wrong thing in you. So that means if it's God's word that matures us, that grows us, the sad thing is many of us want to grow from experiences, as if experiences will grow us up. We don't grow from experiences. There are people that go from church to church because they want another experience. And I'm not knocking experiences. There's something happens when we experience the manifested presence of God. But you don't grow from experiences. You grow from the word of God. You see, listen, y'all. If a baby grew per experiences, the baby would learn how to walk, but the baby would have a whole lot of scabs, bruises, and sores. Because the baby learned how to walk by falling. Instead of learning how to walk, being led and taught. Many of us as Christians, some of us learn scripture because we messed up, so we found the scripture to help us get over our mess up. Instead of spending time and being discipled by God's word. So we are growing, but we're growing with a whole lot of bruises, a whole lot of junk that came along the way that did not have to happen. You don't have to learn how good God is by falling. You don't have to learn how good God is by making a mistake. You can learn how good God is by reading God's word. And because of this, you know that the taste of the milk of God's word is good. When a baby has the milk that it needs, nothing else will satisfy that baby's taste buds anymore. I've seen it. My wife nursed all three of our kids. And if I tried to offer them the milk, they wouldn't take it. Not only do they want their mother's milk, they want it from their mother. They want it from the one who gave them life. So here we are as the body of Christ. We need to feed God's word from the author, from the original source of God's word. Nothing else would ever satisfy. So stop wasting time in life, my friend. Stop wasting time trying to get fulfillment from all these other voices. Stick to the author, the founder, the finisher of God's word. Now that you know that God's milk is good, you can be as they, oh, taste and see, you know. So I don't go and get my passion satisfied nowhere else. My passion satisfied with my wife and a scoop of Bluebell ice cream that she said I could have. I have to go all these other places trying to get something to satisfy. No. Stick to the source. Stick to what God gave you. Because now you know that it is good. Keep on journeying with me, everybody. Look at verse number 4 and 5. The word of the Lord says this. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Listen, so we have to do it the right way. Because you know better, you have to do it the right way. Because you know it's good. Now here's the third one. We have to do it the right way because you know your value. You know your value. The text says, a living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. It's important for us to do it right the first time, because we recognize that God has a plan for us, and God has named us precious. Now, y'all think about this for a minute. Now, he says here, and precious to him. So we are precious to God. That means that we are valuable. We are a priceless treasure of God. Y'all don't understand this. That God paid the price for us through Jesus Christ. So the reason why we are precious, we're valuable, and we're priceless is because Christ gave his life for us to be a part of the house of God, the rocks coming together to form who we are. We got to make sure we get this, everybody, because many of us are still struggling with our identity. We're still struggling trying to figure out who we are. We're always asking our daughters, because they're older. Who do you want? What do you want to be when you grow up? You got to start asking. You got to start figuring this thing out. So now, as a spiritual person, we don't ask ourselves who do you want to be when we grow up to try to figure out our identity, because our identity is in Christ. We talked last week about being a disciple. That's who we are. We are a disciple of God of God through Jesus Christ. So our identity is set. Now, how we get it done, we now hunker down and listen to the Holy Spirit to figure out how to do it, where to go and do it, where we're supposed to be positioned to get it done. But we don't have to question our identity because we know the value of who we are because of God. There's a plan for us. God has a plan for us. We are his precious stone. And we have been paid for by the blood of Jesus. So look at this. We're going to tie this all up in the book. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also like living stones. Y'all get this. So we are not like, think about what David built for God. What Solomon finished that his father was building this temple, putting all these stones together. These stones were just hews of rock that they put together, they molded together to build a place where God could inhabit. Now listen, the difference now is, instead of it being just a stone that's been carved and hewn together with some mud, Peter calls the church living stones. Living stones. So we are stones that have been purchased. We're no longer a sacrifice that has to die, lie upon an altar, and the blood drain out. We are a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing to God. We are living stones. So don't you know you have value? The fact that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you shows you that you have value. Now you have to accept the finished work of Christ and take your place as his precious stone. You know you have value. So stop selling yourself short, my friends. Stop living beneath the value that has been placed upon you because of the blood of Jesus. And if you don't know your value, you will never understand and figure it out until you get into the Word and get some milk in you. You will continue to lay yourself out there and be used by people trying to find value. You only find your value when you have God's Word inside of you, because God's Word says that you are the apple of his eye. You only find value when you have God's Word in you, because if God had a plan for Jeremiah, God has a plan for you also. Says there, verse number 5, but you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Y'all, there's so much going on there. A spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Y'all get this? So we understand that this whole idea of the priesthood, this is an Old Testament thing, and how the priest would gather and offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. Did you hear me? They offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. But Peter says, You are to be a holy priesthood. So there is a responsibility that you have now to offer spiritual sacrifices. Y'all look at that. He said, you are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So if and when you recognize your value, now you are in position to offer spiritual sacrifices. You see, if you don't know your value through God, God has never asked anybody that's not in relationship with him to do anything for him. So you cannot offer proper sacrifice until you're right with God. We have people that come to church, and some of y'all at home, you're not right with God, but you clapping your hands and you're doing these physical things of praise, and that's good, that's cute, that no harm, no foul. But God is not he's not pleased with that if you don't know God. We have a responsibility to do what God has asked us to do because we are in relationship with God. So if you are in relationship, you ought to be praising God. If you are in relationship, you ought to be clapping your hands. You ought to be celebrating because you know who God is. And you know what God is able to do, what God has already done for your benefit. And so we have the responsibility that as we are recognizing the value within us, we are going to be charged and challenged to offer spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. The whole idea of spiritual sacrifice, boy, I'm taking too long. The whole idea of spiritual sacrifice is that there ought to be some passion behind it because it's spirited. Spiritual sacrifices are a spiritual sacrifice is whatever the Spirit leads us to do. And however the Spirit leads us, that's how we get it done. And so if we are recognizing our value, we have to be willing to offer spiritual sacrifices. Sacrifices to God, what is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Listen, y'all. So once again, we can't make this stuff up. We've got to give God what God has required from us. And I understand, y'all, we are really fancy now. You're so fancy. We're fancy now. And so we want fog machines and we want to do all this stuff. And it has its place, it's good, but it cannot take the place of what is acceptable by God. We cannot call ourselves so fresh and innovative that we're coming up with ways to please God. And we don't have to come up with a way to just do what God said. It has to be acceptable. What God has asked for us to do. Verses 6 through 8 says this, "For in the scriptures it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone." God Almighty. "And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Verse 7. "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall." They stumble because they disobey the message, the word of God, which is also what they were destined for. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Listen. Do it the right way because you know stumbling is not an option. It's not an option. In the day and time that we're living in, the church is at a precarious place where those of you that really, really love God, we've got to make sure now even more than ever before that we are living an accountable life to trusted men and women to hold us accountable and accountable to the Holy Spirit. because we are trying to do it right by God, there's no room for falling. Stumbling is not an option. There's too much on the line, y'all. Too much on the line. Too much at stake for us to give in to our flesh and to put those carbs back into our diet. There's no room for us to get weak again and put that chocolate back into our diet. There's no room for those that are lactose intolerant to put that milk, that wrong kind of milk, back into our diet. You see where we're going? Because if we put it back into our diet, there is a great chance that we are going to stumble. We're going to fall. You all, that's a great challenge for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We're out here doing a whole lot of stuff, saying a whole lot of stuff, a part of a lot of stuff that is causing us to stumble, that's causing us to fall, that's causing us not to live up to the value of who we are in God through Jesus Christ. Get this, there's so much we could talk about here, but the Old Testament talks about God being a stone. We'll deal with this in Mac in the morning. The New Testament talks about Christ as the stone. And I love how this passage gives us three different types of stones. You got a cornerstone, you got a rejected stone, and you got a stumbling stone. You got a cornerstone, you got a rejecting stone, and you got a stumbling stone. Now, the cornerstone is who we are built on, and that's Jesus Christ. Everybody say back at me, that's Christ. We are built on Jesus Christ. Now, this rejected stone is still Jesus because he was rejected by the church and by the government, and some of us are still rejecting him today. We still have the rejected stone of Christ in the church. Because we have the revealed will of God, and we're saying, well, I don't know about that today. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine, and he told me that he had a conversation with one of his parishioners, one of his members, and she was questioning something that he preached. So he and one of the deacons, they went to the office to talk to her, just find out what was it about what he said that she had a problem with, and she addressed her problem, and he opened up the Bible. And took her to the Word of God, and he read the passage, and she said, Reverend, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't like it. Well, listen, Houston, we got a problem. We got a problem. We got a problem that Christians are making the choice to turn to their own understanding, lean on their own stuff instead of trusting God. We got a problem, everybody, and right now there's no option for us to fall with this. You got the cornerstone, you got the rejected stone, then you got a stumbling stone, and that's still Jesus. Because if you call yourself a child of God and you disobey the word, the message, that same cornerstone now becomes a stumbling stone for you. We always want to blame it on the devil. No, no, no. Some of the stuff we're doing, Jesus making us fall. So some of the stuff we're doing because we have made a lifestyle of making our own decisions, but going to church on Sundays to look, to have the look. That's not the devil making us do it. Some of the stuff that we're dealing with today is because Christ is allowing us to fall, and it is exposing the weakness of our bones because we're not drinking milk. We're just as brittle as a little baby is because we're not taking the time to take in the nutrients of God's word. And we're wondering, like, it's like, Rev, everything, the sky is falling, the bottom of the floor is pulled out, I don't know what's going on. How's your devotional life? How often are you reading the word? You know, I can't diagnose all this, but I got some simple questions. Are you spending time in prayer? Does your wife like you? You know, there's just some simple things that'll help us using context clues, spiritual context clues, to figure out what the problem is. Are you washing your wife with the word? Lady, are you loving? Are you respecting your husband? I mean, all this stuff. If you want to do it God's way, you got to do it. If you want God's results, you got to do it God's way. We don't have time for this stumbling stuff anymore. My daddy would say, getting weak in the same place every weekend. Come on. Just habitually falling. Just go ahead and stay down. They weren't saying, well, you rare, you know. Pastor McClurkin said, we fall down and we get up, but you just stand down there. Get up. In Matthew 16, 18, I believe, it is where Jesus says, even to Peter, what did he say to Peter? Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Listen. All of us are small Peters. That God has made choice of all of us to build his church today. Because we are what? Y'all with me? We're living stones. So we can't run the risk of throwing the stones of our life to the side. We can't run the risk of throwing the stones of our lives away. God has made choice of us. We're his precious living stone. I'm done. Look at verse number 9 and 10, where our Lord says this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful, the King James says, marvelous light. So it's my prayer that as we close this series of Reset Our Church, that we are willing to do the work, that we're willing to go through the process of being reset. Listen, y'all, it's not going to be easy, because there's some systems that we have embedded in our DNA that it's going to take the surgical hands of God to get the root of that stuff out. It's going to take some time. But we must be willing to do our part, to partner with the Holy Spirit to do the work. You with me? So we must do it the right way, because we know better. You know better by now. Not only do you know better, you know that it's good. That the milk of God's word is good. And not only do you know that it's good, you know your value. Yeah. Not only do you know your value, but you know that stumbling is not an option. It's not an option. Finally, not only do you know that stumbling is not an option, you know who you are. Not only do you know your value, not only do you know that stumbling is not an option, now you are living in the knowing of who you are. We can't go through all of these classifications, but we'll spend this in Mac in the morning. But chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession. All of those categories mean something as in the life of the believer. But where we want to hang this morning in knowing who you are comes to us in the B part of verse number 9, where it says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Just like Jesus paid the price for Peter to call him and say, I'm going to build my church on you. This same Christ has paid the price for you and I. Yeah, we'll talk about the names here of chosen, royal, priesthood, and all that, holy nation. But what I want us to get over this morning is that as the body of Christ, in addition to us being called to be disciples, now that we're walking with God and we know who we are in God, there is a response that God desires to hear from us. You see, when I go and my doctor tells me that the scale is my friend, there's a response that I give because the scale is, because there have been many times the scale is not my friend. So when the scale is my friend, there's a certain kind of response I give. Now, why is it, how can I celebrate a scale more than I celebrate Jesus? Right? He says that here, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to know this morning that you have a responsibility to praise the Lord for what God has done in your world based on the character of who he is. That he has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Do you know who you are now? If you recognize the value in your life, that if you recognize that value, there are some things you just don't want to be a part of anymore because your knowing has gotten stronger. And our knowing is so strong now that nobody can come in and offer us something that we ought not have. Just like a baby takes the milk from its mother. It knows when it's not its mother. Because there is a connection going on. There's a connection in the smell of that baby's mother. There's a connection with the hands and how that baby settles its head with that mother. So nobody can come in and take that mother's place. Because that baby knows who he is, who she is, based off of that mother. The reason why some of us as Christians are philandering, falling out in all kinds of places, because we really don't know who Jesus is. And until we know who the Son of God is, we'll never know ourselves. So therefore, we got to get back in the trenches of God's word to make it a habit of opening up the Bible every day, spending time not just reading, but applying God's word to our lives. Because once we get God's word in us, nobody can make us doubt who he is. And when we cannot fall in doubt about who God is, we now know who we are. Because you can't make me doubt him now, honey. Why? Because I know too much about him. I know he is the faithful God. I know he is the risen Savior. I know he is a soon coming King. So now what comes out of me is exaltation. It is praise to God. So I don't know what you're waiting on this morning. That's a good moment right there to raise your voices and offer God praises for who he is. Peter says we offer the sacrifice of our praise. Hebrews 13 and 5, you know it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer sacrifice of our praise, the fruit of our lips that openly confess his name. So we're not offering a praise that feels good. Because a sacrifice has never felt good. But we offer unto God the sacrifice of our praise, and even when I don't feel like it, I still get up in the morning. And I still spend time on my knees, offering my love unto God. It doesn't feel good all the time, but my feelings don't dictate how I praise God. Because sometimes I don't want to do it. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and everything God's done for me, something rises up in me and I offer to him the sacrifice of my praise. When my hands and my arms are tired, I still raise them high because I love blessing the name of Jesus. When my voice is tired, I'll still raise my voice like a trumpet and I'll bless his name from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. God's name is worthy to be praised. Is there anybody here out there in the internet land and you don't mind praising God? Open up your mouths, raise your voices, and start blessing the name of Jesus. For there's still power in that name. And Peter says you ought to praise him who called you out of darkness. Nobody brought you out of sin but God. Nobody is keeping you from sin but God. So raise your voices and bless His name. Let's do it the right way. Let's seal the deal this morning. While you're around the table with your family, raise your voices and give God thanks for His keeping power for your family, keeping power for your marriage, keeping power for the health of your children. Raise your voices. He called you out of the darkness of sin, brought you into His wonderful, His marvelous light. You got to do it the right way, everybody. Don't start picking up the stuff you're taking out of your diet. If you don't buy it, you won't eat it. That's what I learned. So if it's not in the kitchen at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's a great chance I won't eat it. It's a great chance. So if you're not listening to lies, there's a great chance you won't start lying. If you're not hanging around people that are filled with malice, there's a great chance you won't have malice in your heart. Don't pick it up. Stick with the milk of God's word, everybody. It will last. It will stand forever. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank You. We love You. And we make the decision to praise Your name. Because You're everything to us plus more. No matter what's going on in our world, Father, we will still declare your praise. We will still declare Your glory. We'll still declare Your power. Father, many of our siblings are wrestling this morning because we want to give in to Your authority, but we still have some strongholds that are yet grabbing our attention. But right now, Father, we declare we're going to praise You. Not for what You've done, not for what You can do, but for who You are. Father, we love You. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Why? Here it is. He's my rock. There it is. He's my fortress. And He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. So praise the name of Jesus. Sing with me, ready and sing. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Why? For He's my rock. He's my fortress. And He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. So, Father, we praise You on today. We give You all the glory. We worship You, our Lord. You are worthy to, there it is, be praised. We give You all the glory. We worship You, our Lord, for You are worthy to be praised. One one more time. Raise your voice and sing with us. We give you all that, say, we give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you. And so if you are worthy to be praised, everything else is false. So we give nothing else value but you. And so we thank you, Father. The devil is a liar. Sing with me. God is exalted. Never be defeated. Never be defeated. Lift your voice, sing around your house. Tell the family and singing. The devil is a liar. Oh my. God is exalted. Never be defeated. Yes. Will never be defeated. Come on, sing in the house. Say it again and say amen. The devil is a liar. God is exalted. Say that. Never be defeated. We shall never. Never be defeated. One more time. Say, devil is a liar. And say, and the devil is a liar. Oh, God. God is exalted. Come on, let's praise him, man. We'll never be defeated. Oh, my. We'll never be defeated. One more time. Say, the devil is a liar. And say, and the devil is a liar. Oh, my. God is exalted. Yes. Never be defeated. Never be defeated. I said one more time. We're trying to get to see the devil, and the devil is a liar. Oh my. God is exalted. Will never be defeated. Never be defeated. Come on, say never be defeated and say and. But never be defeated. There you go. Say it and. But never be defeated. Oh my now. Never be defeated. Y'all sound real good this morning. Never be defeated. Say it again. Never. Oh, I can hear you. Raise your voice as I am saying. Never be defeated. Oh, my now. Yeah. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning, for the clarity of your voice, that we've got to do it your way if we want your response. So, Father, do what no other entity can do. Reset us. Set our hearts on fire to love you and love you only. And so we thank you and we love you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Love you. We'll see you next week. Have a great week. All righty. Bye-bye.